Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Much.
All right. Well, on that note, here it is for real. Now we're going. Okay. In 3, 2, 1.
In level 1, the hyenas laughed at me. In level 10, they stopped laughing. The Lion King for Sega Genesis and Super NES systems. Game and system sold separately.
Genesis. No, remember?
Separately.
They had a version. That's right.
We'll get to it again.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Play Retro. Yeah, that's right. This is Play Retro. I'm one of your hosts, Scott Johnson, and Simba's serious about getting all bunged up in the second level to the point that players will rage quit and bring the cart back to Blockbuster before the weekend is out. Well, I guess Scar wins again. Hey, where's your dad? Wildebeest meat. Got it. Anyway, it's a whole new world. Oh, wait, that's the wrong movie.
It's a whole new hi, I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I just can't wait to be cheated. Nobody telling me to rent this or go buy that.
Yeah.
Now see here, if you think I'm going to pay $49.95 for the full game when Blockbuster has it for like $4 for the weekend, well, you got another thing coming. Wait, what is this monkey shit? Stop tossing me back, you barrel of monkey looking apes. Simba, I am your father. Oh, the wildebeest. Oh, the wildebeest.
Yeah.
Like Scott said.
Yeah. The wildebeest is trouble. You don't want to mess
Simba,
with him.
Simba, I am your father.
That's right. Never forget. We had James Earl Jones as the voice of, not Simba, but the other one. Malfeasance? Yeah, what's his name? Mufasa.
No, you got it. Mufasa. And then you're supposed to go, ooh.
Yeah.
Do it again.
Yeah, do it
Mufasa.
Again. Yeah. That movie's kind of annoying now. Those.
Well,
look, I like that movie. I think Lion King is fine. I just think that the hyenas are kind of annoying. That's all. Everyone else is fine. Everyone else plays a role. It's fine. I don't mind Rafiki.
So you're saying Whoopi Goldberg did not do it for you as a hyena. But that was the point, right?
No, she did back then. Her and Cheech Marin were fine back in the day. And then whoever played Ed, I don't know who that voice was. But those three were fine when it was new in 1994. Not now. That's all I'm saying. It hasn't held up. Okay. The rest of the movie totally holds up. Rest movie's fine. Rafiki.
Up.
Bird. What's the bird's name? Cataract, Rafiki, whatever it is. Rafiki's the monkey.
Cataract. You nailed it.
Yeah. Cataract. Rafiki's the monkey.
Rafiki is the monkey.
We're going to slow down now.
For Scott Johnson cannot stop. He knows all the names.
I know the names.
He just doesn't know the order.
I can tell you Pumbaa.
The names go.
Pumbaa's the hog, Pumbaa. The warthog.
He's the warthog. There you go. It's in the song.
That's right.
Hakuna Matata.
Yep. And then that's Nathan Lane playing.
And who does the voice of that? Nathan Lane. There you go. Oh, look at you. You learned something.
I don't know who who did the warthog voice though. Somebody else. Obviously not Nathan Lane. I don't remember. But I remember Matthew Broderick was Simba when he was older. And the girl was somebody famous.
Nala.
Crap. Yeah, Nala as an adult somebody was famous. Somebody famous. Can't remember who.
Right.
Singer maybe.
Singer maybe sounds right.
Yeah. And then Carl Scar was played by
Carl.
Jeffrey.
Carl was mean old Uncle Carl.
Yeah. Uncle Carl killed your dad. Oh, shit. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Can't remember his name. Anyway, we're going to talk about the Lion King, specifically the SNES game. And there's some controversies around that game. A lot of you remember it. You loved it. Whatever. It was right up there with Aladdin in terms of, fandom for it. But
about Aladdin.
There was some dark business about that game, and we'll get to it.
Yeah.
Coming up. But before we do, I got my second Amber Nick in.
You have two Amber to the Nicks?
Well, it's wrapped in a box because I'm giving this to my son as a gift. Because I just felt like doing it. Now I found that screaming deal on AliExpress or AliExpress.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Time to get it in. That's right. So I brought it in. I wrapped it. I put a bow on it. I should say my wife wrapped it and put a bow on it.
If you can't see this, Scott is showing us this. Because I thought, oh, he's going to give a gift to his kid. And how do you do that? You just walk up to him and go, here's the stupid thing. I don't know what to do with the box. Yeah. Leave me alone. Yeah. Here it is.
Yeah.
Scott's wrapped this thing up, and I'm like, immediately I looked, I was like, oh my God, Scott wrapped it up in this nice brown craft looking paper, maybe gold. I can't quite tell on the screen.
It's brown. It's like, it's got this nice craft red paper. You're right about that.
Yeah. It's a good description. Like, oh, it looks beautiful. And it looks like a nice piece of meat, and it's, you know, it's got a nice red ribbon on it and everything. Yeah, and for just a second, I thought, wow, Scott has really upped his wrapping game. And I was like, no way did he do that. That's totally a Kim job.
Like a skin job, really. Anyway, that's
skim,
that
like
Kim did that, and it's got a little note I wrote. I can't read it on the camera, obviously, and I'm going to give it to him when he comes over this afternoon, because I just feel like it's time for that. And also, that kid grew up with my handhelds, just played them to death, so this is a perfect gift for him. He'll love it. Very excited.
Love it.
Brian, what'd you get up to with your analog pocket and your whatnot over the week?
Oh, so I got my, of course, a couple weeks ago, I got my analog pocket. If you're not familiar with that, it is a handheld device that's about the form factor of a Game Boy, but it's a lot newer and a lot nicer and got a nice backlit screen and all the nice new buttons and everything in it. But it does take Game Boy carts, and if you have an adapter, it'll take Game Gear and other handheld games of that era, and you can play it directly from there using your real carts, or you can do what I did this last week, which is what I was waiting on just a little bit. I wanted to see what the out of the box experience was, and then I wanted to see what the open FPGA experience is. That is a project that brings these ROMs to play as a FPGA. So that's what this device is. The FPGA is emulating real hardware,
right?
Unlike some of the other emulations where it's emulating in a software level. So here I am. I loaded it up. I've got my different cores on there. And this is how I played some of the Lion King games this way. I played the Game Boy and Game Gear games this way this week because I wanted to do something with a handheld, you know, a D-pad and a couple of buttons. And I got to say, it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's pitch perfect, just like people promised. I have a friend of mine who's got, he's got a Retroid Pocket, which is Android type device, which is closer probably into relation to like the Amber Nicks that we have, but maybe a little more powerful than one he has, and he fired up the Lion King on his version and was making comparisons and everything. Now his did look a little bit more colorful, but mine was a little bit more accurate, and that's what I wanted. And so he said, yeah, it seems real snappy. That's usually the first thing everybody says, even though you can't, when you look at it, sometimes if you're just watching somebody else play an FPGA type device, just looking at it and then seeing them do it on another device, you're like, what's the difference? It's all the same.
Mm.
But man, when you play it, there's just like this, there's like zero input lag. Everything just, it feels tight.
Mm.
It's kind of hard to explain to somebody the difference between it.
Yeah,
until you've actually experienced.
That whole PGA lifestyle, man. And I don't mean the golf league thing.
The FPGA,
The FPGA.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Real quick, I got a note from somebody who said he picked up an analog pocket, and he said that it was, he felt like it was mostly hype. He says this, just as a counter to what you're saying. He says, easy enough to install ROMs, but the MIUI Mini and the Amernic RG35XX Plus are both better devices, in my opinion. It sure looks sexy. Hardware and software feel cheap to use, though. Just my 2 cents.
Interesting.
Yeah, so he was having a bit of an opposite experience with it. He wasn't as happy with it, but that doesn't mean...
Now, the interface is pretty bare bones. Almost all FPGA products I've used, they're very bare bones. You're going to get a much better... navigating games, locating games, you're going to get a better experience there. But as far as the hardware goes, this analog pocket is some pretty solid stuff. Mm. It's a good feeling device. I've had the Amber Nix, and I've had different levels of of devices, including something big like a Steam Deck, and I got to say, the Analog Pocket absolutely feels like quality to me.
Yeah, it feels from solid. What I can tell, it looks solid or is as good as anything. You know, as good as any of the top tier stuff as far as that goes. He sent me a comparative photo of the screen size, and that was a little surprising to me. So I guess the Analog is the true 3x2 or whatever the hell it is. Original right. Game Boy aspect ratio, right? And the other is the Game Boy Advance 4x3 ratio.
Yes.
So, you know, you give a little, take a little, I guess. But the idea with the Analog Pocket is, hey, we're going for the most authentic possible hardware experience and size experience. And so I think that's why they chose to go that way. But
yeah, Analog Pocket is definitely, almost all analog products are specifically designed to be as accurate, hardware accurate as possible. And, you know, that may not be your jam. You may not give a poop. You may not give a poop, but I like how things feel. Because if you're gaming for the first time and you've never played The Lion King or any of these games before, you may never notice any difference at all.
Sure.
But it feels a little bit sluggish to me when I play it on those, my Amber Nix, as opposed to my Analog Pocket. And that's preference. Mm. That's just me. That's just me. I'm not judging you. If you like the other, you can play the other.
That's Brian's defensive voice when he's going, hey, it's okay. You know what you want.
It's okay, man.
You play what you want.
Play what you want, man.
And you're
play
right.
Play what you want.
You're right. You do play what you want. And by the way, I have another thing to tell you. Remember how I told you about how my RG58 had a little piece of plastic or something flying around in it and I couldn't figure out what it was from?
Yeah.
I opened it. And I had to wait for these tools to come in because it uses those star screwdrivers and I didn't have a whole set. So I was missing the size I needed. So I ordered a set of those. They're like $9 on Amazon. No big deal. Picked those up. Came in. I'm like, sweet. Here's the one I need. Got it open. And it's a nice, tight little design in there. I like what they've done mostly for the most part.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got in there and I shook it around and I'm like, where is this piece? It's not in the part where I've got it open. So where is it? Is it behind the circuit board? Do I have to take the circuit board out? So I'm starting to get frustrated. But now I don't even hear it shaking. I'm like, what the hell did I do? Did I already come out and it's on the table somewhere? I looked, couldn't find it, put it all back together, screwed it together, shook it. It's gone. The shake is gone. I don't know what happened.
Oh.
I don't know what happened.
The shake is gone.
Yeah. That's the song I thought
of. Sometimes you get lucky. Yeah.
That was
sometimes
weird.
Sometimes you get lucky.
Well, anyway, there's our handheld update. It is time for us to get into today's discussion about 1994's The Lion King.
Shall we play a game?
Let's do that indeed. We are talking about this game, which, of course, is very popular and a big deal, or at least it was at the time. This controls, you're mostly Simba. You're pretty much that's all you are. And you're running around these stages. They basically mirror the locations of the film that the whole thing is based on. And, you start in Simba's youth. He's young. He's got a squeaky little kid voice. And then you work your way up to
a squeaky roar.
Yeah, big time. And then you work your way up to a confrontation ultimately with Uncle Scar as an adult. The game is very pretty. It was a nice showcase for what the SNES was capable of. And for the most part, the gameplay was really strong. But Brian, there's a dirty little secret with this game.
This was 1994. And Disney was very involved with this game. Now, we had seen Virgin Interactive do Aladdin. Also, Disney was fairly involved, but they got really excited here. Westwood Studios, Disney, Virgin Interactive got together. They made The Lion King, and it was 1994, a different time indeed. What was our dirty little secret about this hard-ass game that we remember for the SNES and the Genesis?
Yeah, the hard part, you just mentioned hard-ass. So there was this thing going on where they got in cahoots with Blockbuster to try to limit. So here's the problem with Blockbuster. Here's the whole concept that this is an issue. I'm sure there were meetings about this all the time. I don't know. I would love to have been a fly on the wall at corporate headquarters, but they were renting video games and doing really well as a video game rental, solution. And back in this 8-bit, 16-bit days, games were not as long as they are today. They were, if you knew what you were doing and you were smart, I don't know if you were just good at the game, you could rip through a rental in like an afternoon. You could beat it in a couple of hours. and then you would return it, and that was it. You were never renting that game again, nor would you ever buy that game. And so they were like, well, we got to figure out a way to make it so if somebody rents this game, they don't beat it during the rental period.
Yeah, yeah.
We want to make them come back and rent it again because they ran out of time and now they got to keep playing it. How do we do that? And how they did it was making it unreasonably difficult to beat specifically the second level. It was really hard to a point that it was like obvious that they were trying to stop people from getting too far into the thing. That seems so devious to me.
It seems so dirty. So let's get some backstory on this. So the Lewis Castle was the creative director, and he's talked a lot about this game since the time that it was released. As a matter of fact, a lot of the creators have went on to apologize to the public at large for making this game somewhat broken because it was, this is what he said. He said it was critically important to Disney that they not get more than a certain percentage, the user, of the game before one night's rental, which was like 7 or 8 hours of play, Castle said.
Yeah.
He went on to reveal that the game developers got this information late in the process, which meant that they had very little flexibility in terms of game design. In particular, he called out how the game's designers decided to make the monkey level, which is at the beginning or middle part of part two, the most challenging. But if the players got past that point, would they could easily be able to flow through the rest of the Lion King game. So when you get to the monkey tossing, there's a part in second level. By the way, the Lion King is all based on locations in the movie. Some of the locations got cut, but remain in the game. But it was all based on that kind of stuff. And there's a part that I don't remember in the movie where you're jumping around on trees and there's monkeys and they're in different trees and they grab you and they toss you. You can make those monkeys toss you in a different direction by landing on bird nests to them and roaring, and that puts them in a different direction. So it's an environmental puzzle. Yeah. You gotta figure out how to make the monkeys pass you to the next part. And as you can imagine, there's no instructions in the manual that say, you know, here's a hint on how to get past this part. No, you're going from the first level, which is pretty darn short. It's just platforming, left to right platforming.
Yeah, very basic, hard, not difficult. You go from left to right, you get to the end, and you're done.
Yeah. And you're done. You kill a hyena, which is a pain in the ass. And then you get to the second stage. You get to play a little bit there. You learn how the monkeys work. And then you jump on some giraffe heads. And then next thing you know, you're in the hellscape that is the barrel of monkeys, monkey toss.
All right.
And So that's maybe even for a kid who's playing this, 8, 10-year-old playing this game. You know, that would be very frustrating because they're trying to trap you in that area for close to 8 hours. If that gives you any clue of how hard this would have been back in 1994 with no manual. This thing came out along just about the time the movie released.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were out there by yourself. And this was all in the name of sticking it to Blockbuster and the video game rental market.
Yep.
Which
sucks because you could buy this game and I owned it, right? But they didn't make the second level any easier. Like I wish there would have been a rental only level where they could do this tomfoolery and get away with it and say, well, this is just the rental. If you have the game or buy it retail, this isn't that. I wish they would have done that. I would have felt less cheated by the system. That pissed me off.
Exactly. A lot of people feel cheated. That's the reason why the creators came out. They were very disappointed because they love games just like we do. And so they were very disappointed. They had to stick it to these young gamers especially. And so, but there's a bigger story there with Nintendo and how Nintendo had really fought really hard to try to get video game rentals out of Blockbuster. Luckily, the software market was able to, they were ahead of the curve. They were able to, before it was well established, that rental places were renting out that kind of stuff. They were able to lobby and get some laws passed so that you couldn't just, you couldn't just rent out windows and people could copy them. There was for a while you could, but they eventually got there. So you couldn't, but not so for Nintendo and the video game market. Mm-hmm. They were just screwed. Yeah. Matter of fact, the only thing that released them from the hell that was video game rentals was the fact that video game rental stores in general just disappeared.
Yeah, they went away.
You can still do it.
Yeah, you can still go to a Redbox, but it's not the same as it used to be. Not even close.
I don't think Redbox carries any video games at all now. I think I bought all the clearance stuff they had. They may still rent some, and there's still, you know, there's video game rentals that still exist. And as a matter of fact, the laws are lax enough that you can still do this. You can, unlike movie rentals, where the studios were able to say, hey, you know, you've got to give us a lead time before you start renting our movies. There was never that with video games. You could just, you know, you'd either buy it directly from Nintendo or whoever who stopped that pretty quick.
You're right, though. 2019, they quit doing it. I didn't know that. That's news to me. I thought Redbox was still a place I could go get that shiz, but nope.
It's just not, it's probably just not financially sound, because they probably get the, you know, because there's no market where they can get a cheaper price on video games. They essentially have to go out and buy the video games retail and then rent them out. So it takes a lot of rentals for those, you know, for a $60 game, plus losses and everything else to make sure you recover that, when they can just, you know, work with the movie studios and get disc on the cheap, you know, particular versions for their own stuff and, you know, and rent those. It just wasn't financially.
There's also, they benefit, as much as you hear video game companies complain about, well, that's mostly retailers that complain about it, but you know, there's complaints about digital sales versus disc sales, and digital is creeping up and taking over. In some markets, it's absolutely already taking over. For me, it took over, I don't know, 2012, and I haven't looked back. I don't buy physical discs anymore. Yeah. So, that actually is in their favor, because there is no rental market on digital copies. If there is, then you, the platform holder, would run that. So if you had a way of renting or lending games the way Steam does, or the way other consoles might, it's up to the console manufacturer how that works, not some rental company they don't control. This problem is kind of gone now. It just, the market took care of it.
It took care of itself. And like you said earlier, you know, it was true. We would, if you went and got The Lion King, you could finish it in the afternoon. So yeah, they definitely didn't want people to rent them on the weekends and then finish them. But that was a limitation of the hardware. Now we have games that go on, you know, for, you know, 60, 80, you know, hundreds of hours. And so if you did rent games now, you still probably wouldn't finish them. And I rented some games that I did that. It was start. It's almost like getting a demo's worth, like I used to say.
That's
like
about all you get. Worth. Yeah, you get a demo's worth. I mean, the truth of this, there were games then, you know, the Final Fantasy VI, for example, here in the States, it was called VI. That game was huge. Like, you will spend many, many hours in it. But for every Final Fantasy, there were 50 of these things, and these things were short.
Yeah. They were short because there was a couple of reasons, partly because Disney really wanted a high quality product. And so they didn't allow the developers to create their own animation. They had them work with the Disney animators. So you get these beautiful, this game is not only beautiful and colorful for the SNES and the Genesis, those 16-bit systems. The animation is great. The idle animation. I many times I just stopped and watched to see what young Simba would do. I loved it. I loved how he moved. It just, everything about it reminds me, it's really immersive. Mm-hmm. The problem is, it's a trade-off. We're talking about carts at this time, and there's only so much memory. So you only can have so many levels of play, before you had a room.
Yeah. We had huge limitations back then. And so you'd end up with a shorter game. That's just the way it was. And we were okay with it. We lived with it. But if you were going to make a Lion King, if you're going to make a Lion King game today, like a straight up, you know, even a 2D game, you'd still have to be longer than what they made that thing. It's just too short. Aladdin was too short. Favorite. This was too short. All those Disney games were too freaking short.
Too short. But that's because they were trying to create the Disney experience in a medium that hadn't quite gotten to maturity that it would experience. So yeah, I loved it though, because I loved the Lion King music. I had the soundtrack. I watched the summer it came out. I went, I think it was summertime, right? I'm thinking that right. I think that's right. Anyway, when it came out, I went and saw it. I was at the beach. The reason why I think it's summertime, I saw it at the beach. So it could have been any time of the year. I just assumed that since I was at the beach, it had to be summer.
Yeah, it's almost, but you'd think it would be. That's when I went.
So that makes sense. So I had the soundtrack. Every time there was just like, it was Lion King year. Everything was Lion King, and I couldn't get enough of it. And I think I remember renting this. I would have been maybe a year out of Blockbuster from working at Blockbuster at that point in time. And I did used to rent those games.
Yeah, you were part of the problem, man. You were part of the issue there.
I was part of the problem, but it was exciting and fun. If you didn't get to experience the rental market in during the 90s, early 90s, you would go to the rental store, and you could, if you went specifically to Blockbuster, you could get a big black case with all kinds of foam in the inside, and the system was inside there, mm-hmm. usually like a SNES or an NES or something like that, or Genesis, and you would rent that for the weekend, and it wasn't too bad. I think most of the times it was like in the $10 range. Now, you did have to have a parent to co-sign off on this, because you'd have to have a $50 deposit, I think it was at one point in time.
Yep.
Then you'd grab a couple of games. Some of the older ones, I think, were $2, maybe $4 for the new ones. And you would rent those for the weekend. That's what you would do. You would go in, your mom, dad rent something adulty, and they're like, well, we're going to get the kids. And we'd grab a couple of games, and we would go home, and we'd have a good time. Or go to a friend's house, because it's in a case. Take it where you want to go.
Chat's right. Gamefly still exists, still doing rentals.
Yes, it does.
They even rent arcade machines. And when they say that, what they actually mean are those one-up arcade things you buy at the Walmart or whatever.
Oh, I did not know that. That's an interesting concept.
I think they only sell them, though, not rent them. Let's see.
Okay, they only sell them. Okay.
I think so. Yeah, these all say buy. So as much as... Oh, yeah, here we go. Well, it says... I'm clicking rent.
I want to rent.
Let's see. Yeah.
Rent to own places still rent things like PlayStation 5. They're crazily priced.
Yeah, remember rent to own? Rent to own was nuts, dude. That was a weird time.
Yeah, they still do that. You still can rent to own if you want to buy a PS5 for $1,000. Go ahead. They'll let you do it.
Yeah, that's how they get you. So it's not even like high interest. It's just the price of the thing is jacked way up.
Yeah, you get. Yeah, they give you like a weekly or monthly payment, and they go, hey, see, you can do this. Don't think about the interest. Don't think about it.
Yeah.
Just buy it.
Kind of lame. I never trusted that. I always felt like I was getting shystered if I went and did that. You know?
Yeah. But back to the game, The Lion King. I really liked it. It was very immersive. I loved all the colorful things that were going on there. I love the fact that you feel a progression. So, and, you know, in a lot of games, you have level progressions. Here, you age up with Simba. And as you age up, you get new powers. When you first start, you only have like roll and pounce, and you have a tiny little roar, and you can knock, I think they're geckos over. No, maybe you have to stomp the gecko. I think you have to stomp the geckos, but you can knock over some porcupine looking things. I don't remember this being exactly in the movie.
No, they make a lot of that shit up. Yeah. They have bug stuff in the movie, and then they expand on that here. You got to avoid these.
There was no exploding bugs though, Scott. No. If you jumped on they did do the little Hakuna Matata eating the bugs thing, but I don't remember them jumping on a bug. And then if you don't double jump out of that stuff really quick, you get blown up. I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't remember spiders taking Simba off screen for 3 seconds. I don't understand what that's about.
That's so creepy.
Yeah,
that's so creepy. But man, yeah, this puts the P in platforming though, because there is a hell of a lot of platforming in this game, and I couldn't quite figure it out because I remember playing it, but I was a little bit older to be playing this. I was kind of revisiting my second childhood by the time The Lion King came out, because my, you know, wouldn't be long for my kids to be along. And, you know, and I'm like, I'm not ready to give up my childhood yet. And so I remember thinking, this is kind of simple in the repetitiveness of it. But it's also really ass hard to platform between some of these things, because you got to have some really tight timing. Much more tighter than something like a Mario game. And, you know, some of these log flume areas where you got to jump on logs and stuff, and you got to jump out in space where there's nothing really except for one little small platform for your little cat butt to land.
Yep.
Too hard.
Too hard.
Too hard.
It's a hard video game. And part of that was them trying to make it so you couldn't beat it in one rental. Part of that was them just making a hard game. You know, that's the thing with platformers in the 90s. They were ass hard for a reason. This is what they were. These were the games. you know?
That's how you made a game longer. I mean, if you made it easy to platform, then you would be done in a minute and you'd be all mad. And then your parents would be mad and they'd be banging on Westwood Studios' front door wanting to know why they robbed your child of their joy.
Well, the good news is if you had a Game Boy, you could also buy this game. It's a black and white old monochrome looking thing, but actually kind of looks all right visually. Sort of surprising how good the Game Boy game looks. I think it looks all right. I don't think it plays very good, but I think it looks okay.
Wrong. Scott's wrong.
I agree. I disagree.
You can't see this. If you can't see this, let me explain it to you. It's black and white.
Yeah.
Took all the color out of my Lion King.
Well, yeah. Okay, come on. That's
Lion
the point,
King is
though.
All about color.
But it's a Game Boy. Of course, there's no color in it. This is the deal.
Just don't do it. Just make that decision. Go, look, this is going to look like ass. Do not put it on the Game Boy. It's just not there for the technology. Let's wait until the Game Boy Color comes out. Don't even bother. Why are we putting this on Game
Fair,
Boy?
Fair point. But for a kid, if there was a kid out there who's like, well, all I got is the Game Boy. Yeah. Well, then you have your favorite Disney movie freaking adaptation. Okay.
Here. Do you, though?
You do.
Can you even tell he's a lion?
Yes. It's not that bad. Like, it's impressive for Game Boy standards. You know?
Let me describe it to you. Let me describe it to you. Okay, imagine you got a pretty good copy of The Lion King on VHS or something. Let's just say everybody has had a copy machine, right? All right, so you've gone and you've got some artwork. You got color artwork of The Lion King. And you take it down to the library and you run it through the Xerox about 20 times. And then you take that and you Xerox it again, but you do it in black and white. That's what you're looking at.
Okay, but that's what you're describing is every Game Boy game ever made then, because that's what Game Boy was. This is how it worked. So if you had Batman on your your Nintendo Entertainment System and it was in full color, the Game Boy game would be Batman in black and white. That's just what you had. That's
but
what
Batman, you did. Batman, but there's a big difference here. This is a very organic game where you've got rocks that are very organic and characters that are very, you know, three-dimensional. The Batman games were like sprites. They were just, you know, flat sprites. He was in the city. You know, got a bunch of squares and stuff.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
But when you're like trying to do all this pixel shading and stuff, the animation was still there. You could still feel the spirit of the animation. You could feel everything there, but it really did feel like a poor copy of something that was really good. And maybe I shouldn't have played the good one.
Well, let me introduce you to a let me introduce you to a color handheld known as the Game Gear. Okay.
This one rocked.
That's all right. This one had less good. This has less good animation than the Game Boy game. I'm gonna tell you that right now. Like, the animation is way more stiff. It's not as good. Disney not directly involved, all that stuff.
Right.
It's fine in a pinch, but look at the way he flings himself and then gets all stiff. It sucks. It's not great.
This resolved all of the complaints people had about the other versions. What it sacrificed was the animation. And if that's all you got, bring it on, because the gameplay is way more important to me. The animation's cool. I like looking at it. It's a lot of fun. But if you want to get the true Lion King experience of a good game, this Game Gear is fun. Unlike all the other versions where Simba is at whatever speed he's running, this has real weight and momentum behind things. When you start to run, you kind of go just a little bit and then you get a little faster and you get weight and momentum. The gameplay is just so much better in this. Screw you, Disney. You messed it up. Mm. Thank God you had somebody come along and, you know, make a good game for the GameCube.
Who made this one anyway?
Yeah.
Who was this?
Let me see.
Syrox Development. Syrox Development,
yes.
Right? Is that it? That's a weird name. Yes, never heard of those guys before. Did they ever make anything else
about? They've changed their name since then. Let me see. What was it called? The Syrox, but I don't care.
Oh, they're Climax.
Anything else good again?
Climax Studios. Who they are now. Okay. Climax Studios. We know these guys from a bunch of stuff, including Silent Hill Origins, Silent Hill Shattered Memories, and the Silent Hill franchise at large. Let's see. They did, I'm trying to find their list of games here.
Scud. Remember Scud? I love Scud. Yeah, that's my
Scud
problem.
Was great.
Maybe that's my problem.
Let's see. They published a number of VR titles lately. What are they doing now? Let's see. The studio would then later be acquired. Okay, Keyword Studios now owns them as of 2021. So they got sold, and who knows what they're up to now.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, and see, they kept the spirit. Matter of fact, this is even better. Look at this version. So in between each of the levels, I don't know if it happens at every level, but I definitely between the first and the second level, you have this area where Pumbaa has to run back and forth and catch grubs and bugs as they fall from a high.
Yeah.
And here it falls all the way from the top. In the other games, one of the other characters is dropping the bugs, and it's a very short span, and it almost feels like they're trying to trick you, because this is a mini game. You want to collect as much as possible. Yeah. No penalty other than you're trying to hit your high score. But they're constantly trying to trick you. Here, he's doing a little bit of everything. Looks like he's missed some things. This is such better gameplay. I'm just going to say it. The gameplay is just so much better for the sacrifice of a little bit of animation.
Why don't you just marry the Game Gear? Why don't you just do that?
I would, if I could marry the Game Gear, we would be at the courthouse right now. I'd be changing my name to Brian Gear, would be my name.
Do you ever get that one fixed? You're working on one, right? You're trying to get it working?
Yeah, yeah. I've got a cap kit I got coming in. I'm going to try to replace the caps and stuff. And then, I've been really impressed. Well, there's two systems, handheld systems that I've been impressed with that I was not necessarily impressed with back in the day. Game Boy Advance and the Game Gear. Those two have just really interesting games to me and are just some really great systems that I was aware of, had played a little bit of, but did not appreciate what they were.
Well, now that's changed.
I've got to say.
Now you know. And knowing is half the battle.
And now,
right?
It's all the battle, I think. But, you know, I don't think we played amazingly in a movie with some of the best Disney music of that time. There was a whole run of movies for Disney that was part musical, part adventure, everything else, princesses and princes, and they still do it. But, you know, there was just this huge run where Disney figured it out. And they said, oh, okay. Little Mermaid were really good.
Yeah, they kind of owned it, too. Nobody else was even close to that. Yeah.
No, nobody was. Everybody was wanting to bite on that after a while. But, yeah, we haven't even played any of the music. The SNES Genesis version music is phenomenal. That crap that came out of the Game Boy, I put a link in there. I can't wait to be king. They murdered it. I don't know if you saw that.
I'll play it here. Let's see where you put that. Oh, there it is.
You want to play the good stuff first and then give them the bad stuff?
No, I'm going to play them. I'm going to play them the good stuff. Let's play this. This is the one you put in there for that. I just need to turn it up. Here we go. Okay, this is the Game Boy, by the way.
Starts out okay.
It's okay.
Starts out okay.
It's not the worst thing I've ever heard.
It starts out.
I mean, for the Game Boy.
The important part is the start spell. Yeah.
Let's get a little further
in. Then they lose their way.
I don't know. It's all right. It's okay.
You keep hitting the good parts. I'm telling you, there's parts there that goes.
All right, try this.
It's just terrible.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. That doesn't sound good.
I don't know if that's beyond that part of the song. All I know is there's parts of I Can't Wait to Be King that just turns trash. It's going along well. You're like, can't wait to be king. And it's kind of like just the same song, but it gets weird.
How about the SNES game?
You see this?
It's okay.
Little flutes and horns.
It's just jungle music. Yeah, it's not from the movie though, is it? It's a lot of like just standard ass music.
Not that part. But they do a lot of the music from the movie as well. But that there's a lot of parts where it's just that, you know, standard whatever. One of the things I have forgotten of that I loved about those games from that era is you would have the sound test, which we don't get in games anymore. The sound test would typically just be a list of all the songs or maybe some sound bites that you could do. And I did that for probably a good 15 minutes just going through all the songs. Because I was like, I'll never make these levels to hear it. So,
okay, well, how'd they do in the Game Gear? Let's hear the Game Gear.
Hakuna Matata.
This is the Game Gear.
See? Marry me, Mr. Gear.
All right, it's not. It's pretty good. I'll give it to you. Now, what if I played a commercial for the Tiger Electronics handheld Lion King game? What if I did that? I'm going to play that.
Oh, my God, please.
You should check this out, chat. We're going to show the whole thing.
Journey to Africa with Simba and his friends in the Lion King handheld game.
Jamba. What?
Jamba.
I don't understand.
Simba.
Oh, Simba.
Destined to be king of the jungle, you help Simba dodge wildebeests and pounce on hyenas.
Man, are they ugly.
Feast on bugs.
Slimy.
That's satisfying.
Reunite with Nala.
And crush the
evil scar to become the Lion King.
I win!
Tiger's Lion King electronic handheld game. Batteries not included.
That looks like...
You think they're overselling it?
I think they oversold it. Yeah, I also think... what did that girl think the name of the damn thing was? What did she say?
I don't know. She's like saying some kind of weird words. Like, slalom?
Slalom? Slalom?
What? What? I don't know what she's saying, but then she goes, Simba or something. You go... Oh, what the hell she's talking about now?
You know where Game Gear shines now is in emulation, because back in the day, you could only play your games for about 20 minutes before they all went to poop, and you had to go out beg your parents for another 4 or 6 batteries.
Absolutely.
That really didn't help them.
If you have a Game Gear, if you're gonna have a Game Gear, I mean, just get a little charger. I mean, you get chargers if you're a car charger. You can get a charger. I mean, no one was playing their Game Gear out on a park bench or something like always with advertised. You could play it on your park bench. No one's. I'm not sitting on a park bench playing that thing. But plus, there's outlets everywhere now. Outside outlets, that whatever was the thing back when we were kids.
Sure.
But now.
Sure.
You can find an outlet.
Wooj Man in the chat says he had a basketball Tiger electronics game that was probably ass, but man, I loved it. I think there's going to be a lot of people who got into those Tiger games or got into Game & Watch or whatever and think that stuff was cool. If you play it now.
I love how you say
it's so bad.
Think that stuff was cool. Your nostalgia is incorrect.
I'm just saying if you played it now, you know it would be bad. It would be a terrible experience. There's no way.
You can... So I kind of did a little deep dive in this because I do, they were really, so this is like Tiger Electronics second, I don't know, this was Tiger Electronics at probably their height for LCDs, right? We grew up with LEDs, right? The football games, Mattel football games. And this was the LCD screens. They were just, you know, liquid crystal displays that had, it's just a gray screen and you would have parts of it light up with just a particular shape, like a character, like in this case, the Lion King or, you know, Simba or whoever is in there. They'd only move to different areas of the screen, but it was always the same character. So there was only so many spots on the screen for a character to occupy.
Right.
And based on that, you would move your D-pad around to position them to create, to do some type of action, right? Very limited gameplay, very simplistic gameplay, nothing like what they were selling us there. But back in the day, these people were really good at one thing, and that was that was getting licensed properties. So they would go out and they would get a licensed property for something. They would make a very simplistic game that was only like 40 or 50 employees at the place. And then they would package that thing up and they would ship it out, selling it for $20 to $40. And then parents who are hearing their kids go, I want King game. I want this, you know, a very small investment, not to buy a console, don't have to buy a cart. You got everything's right there in one system, low investment, $20, $30 or whatever, and you shut your kid up for 5 minutes. And, you know, if you compare the nothing to what the kid had before, this is something.
Yeah. I mean, you're not, this is something. They have an 18 game. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah. Oh man. That was their whole thing. That was their whole cash incentive was to go, let's go license something, make a game out of it. This is early 90s. We didn't have it when a lot of these things were coming out. We were right about to have the Game Boy. So when you were telling, you know, these companies, well, we can put your property in the kids, kids' hands, and then, you know, they'll be a fan or whatever. And it's a really low risk, really low investment. And they sold lots of these, and you would get one of these, birthdays, Christmas, and just when you need like a $20 or $30 gift, boom, there you go. Look, Billy likes the Lion King.
They had a Jeopardy device. I remember this thing.
Right.
where it had a cartridge hole. So it wasn't just the game all built in. It had the basic Jeopardy game. But if you wanted all these Jeopardy cartridges, there were like six carts you could buy. They had all different trivia. Yeah. And you'd plug them in there and play more Jeopardy. Made sense to me at the time. Actually, I'm a little surprised Tiger didn't pivot at some point and go, we're going to make a real handheld. We're going to compete with
Oh, my gosh, Scott. Are you like clairvoyant?
Maybe I must be.
They did.
Oh, my Lord. What did they do?
They did. They made a little handheld. It did not do well. And we are eventually going to have a whole episode on Tiger Electronics. And the reason why, because every week I have somebody who tells me, when are y'all going to cover the handheld Tiger and, you know, the Mattel things from back in the day? And I always thought, there's just a few crazy fringe people.
Just the one?
Wrong.
Do you see it? Do you see this? Right. Is this it? Is this the Gamecom? Game.com?
At least the Gamecom. Yeah, yep, Game.com. There you go.
I don't remember this at all. Tiger. Completely passed me up. Did not see this.
Yep.
Wow.
I've got to get my hands on that. I've got to get my hands on one of those things. Looks like it's got LCD, like little square blocks and stuff. I don't know exactly how it works, but...
I assume it was a straight up game. It must have been like a Game Boy type. I mean, you know, you're pushing graphics, not just LCD static stuff.
I don't know if it looks like the burn in looks like squares. I could be wrong. Maybe it's just the picture.
I can't tell either. Yeah, I don't know. I can't tell either.
I can't get my hands on one of these things, though.
How hard do you think it'd be to find that? How are you going to get them? How are you going to buy one? Where are they?
I'm sure they got them on. I'm sure I'm going to be able to find one. And that's been one of the reasons why we haven't done a show is because in the past, I kept going, how are we going to do this? Because, you know, how are we going to, we can't emulate it. We'll have to have like X number of games to be able to do it. And they're pretty simple games. So we'd probably want to do multiples at a time. There's actually archive.org has a whole collection of Tiger Electronics where people have ported them over. You don't really emulate them as much as you.
Right.
You dump the data and you port them over and they play in that. So, and there's also RetroArch has a core for it. I've never looked into it, but I found it very interesting. This is all kicked off because me and Scott do something called the Tadpooley feud on the morning stream, which Scott does with Brian Ibbett.
Yeah.
And I show up and we play that. And this week, pretty high on the board, higher than I thought. So people's favorites, the handheld game system was Tiger Electronics fell in there, right?
Crazy people.
Those Mattel and
insanity. Yeah. Insanity. I understand when kids only had what they had. I get it. But
yeah.
Woof. Like in retrospect, freaking woof. By the way, eBay, $100. Go get one. $100.
$100. Well, we'll see what we can do, and we'll have to reach out to the community and see if anybody could loan one or whatever we could find out to maybe.
Yeah, maybe one of you have one of these. I would love to see it. Now, from what I can tell, this was a real game player that just was ugly black and white, like a no backlit. Just
on this, the one you're showing looks like it got beat up pretty good.
I can't tell.
That thing saw the inside of a pocket. A lot.
Oh, you mean the hairy? Yeah, the hairy outsides of this thing. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, somebody loved that thing, boy. They
Hunter Bones, and it's yours. They have another group here that kind of, I lost it. I don't know why I lost it.
And to describe it for people, it's just it's almost more like a Game Boy Advanced style format. It's a little wider than it is tall. The D pads on the left side of the screen. You got four face buttons, maybe a start select. Oh, more buttons than that. But yeah, the action buttons are only going to be four. And it comes with these little carts.
And there's a stylus. Like a
you would get.
What's the stylus for?
Yes.
I assume the screen had some kind of pressure.
Probably tapping. Okay. Yeah, like PDA. This is a bit like the PDA era, right?
Yeah.
Early PDA stuff, Palm, that kind of stuff, probably.
Yeah, probably, if I had to guess. Yeah.
Some people in the chat, don't buy this. Don't do it. It's for research. It's not for like, I'm going to find great joy in this. I mean, I'm looking at Jurassic Park. Did that say Gamecom Internet? I think one of those cartridges says Gamecom Internet. I love dead technology. And boy, I don't think anything could be more dead than that.
That's like Sega Channel stuff, man. I love that crap. I love it. I don't want it to work. I just love that it exists, you know? And chat's right. We should buy it. I had an N-Gage. I'm so sad I sold that. I should have kept it.
Yeah.
Because we got to talk about the N-Gage sometime as a dead piece of shit. Because that thing sucked.
Yeah.
What a nightmare that turned out to be. Well, anyway.
Some trivia facts to wrap up some of the our Lion King coverage here, which we hope you enjoyed. I got a little bit of scrutiny. We don't usually play that on here, but if you want to play
you want to do some film sack style scrutiny? Yeah, hold on. Scrutiny. Go for it.
There we go. It says, according to video game facts, VGFacts.com, one of the entries there, all supported by people who visit the site, the monkeys featured in the Simba's Pride level originally threw obvious feces.
Oh, throwing feces? What?
No. However, Disney requested this was removed from the final release.
Oh, well, here's my final release, Disney.
No, I don't care about that so much, but I always love hearing about when game developers put in funny stuff and then they have to take it out. And it's funny.
I would be curious to how it actually went down, because obviously Disney's not going to request it. Disney's going to demand it. And from all the interviews I saw with Lewis Castle, creative director, they worked very tight, hand in hand, with the Disney animators. And, you know, even to the point that the animators were upset that, you know how when you jump and in air, sometimes your character can do a second double jump.
Yeah,
they didn't like the fact that Simba could turn directions.
Why?
In that second double jump. So
why?
Because it was not a realistic motion. They would not be pop.
Boo-hoo, it's based on a cartoon. Give me a break. If it makes the game funner, then who cares, you know?
Yeah, more fun. That's why I love the Game Gear one, man. I'm telling you, got the animators out of the way, booting them to the, I don't know how they got away with it. They boot them to the curb, and it was like, we're going to make a good game.
Would you call that the monkey poo? Would you call it feces pieces? Would you call it that?
Oh, feces pieces. Feces pieces. I love it.
Yeah.
By the way, also, in the game, they took some, Disney wanted the game people to remove some of the scenes in the game because the scenes were removed from the movie. This game was being developed at the same time as the movie.
That happened a lot back then. The co-developing of your game with your movie was a way common thing to do back then.
Oh, totally. Because you had to, because it took that long to get it done. And so they did fight the fight. So you will see things in The Lion King of scenes and things that don't quite jive up with the movie, is because they said, yeah, if we take that out, you pretty much got no game.
Yeah.
If you want a no game, let's do it.
Yep.
Let's rack it up.
Rack it up, baby.
Baby.
Rack it up, baby. But they didn't.
Woo. Well, good for them. That's your look at Lion King. Don't ever think of it the same. It was a big screw job, everyone, but still fun. Still fun game if you can get past that monkey thing. Just go read a guide on the monkey thing and you're fine. You'll get through it.
Oh, man. We didn't get to talk too much about it. But I did want to talk. I remember it being at Blockbuster. The thing that Nintendo was the biggest fighter against the game rental market.
Yeah, they hated it.
They had the most to lose. They had the most to lose at the time. And as a result, they were always looking for a way, because they couldn't get it done through the legislature. So they went and they were just watching Blockbuster. And Blockbuster used to, if somebody lost a manual, which happened a lot, Blockbuster decided to start photocopying the manuals.
Oh, right.
So Nintendo got Blockbuster on a technicality, because those are copyrighted, baby. Now, yeah, gotcha.
Zing. Yeah, it's like, and getting, so, what's his name on tax fraud? Who's the mobster? The famous, I can't, Al Capone. They got him on tax fraud instead of murder and everything else. Yeah.
Yep. So they were watching him closely. Got him on that. But then Blockbuster pivoted and said, oh, we're sorry, here's our little fine. And so then Blockbuster started writing their own manuals. And I remember a little bit about that. Those weird manuals we would get in. It's like, what? Blockbuster's like, fine, we don't need your stupid manuals, we'll make our own. And I was like, wait a minute. That means somewhere up in the higher echelons of Blockbuster at some point in time, somebody was getting to play games and write game manuals. Yeah. And I'm like, how did I not work my way up to that position?
Yeah, where were you, man? Where was you? You stopped just short. You were like in the Red Vine upsale department, and you're almost there. You just
I was handing out balloons. We used to do that.
Really?
Helium balloons.
What for? Just to say, hey, thanks for being here.
For the kids. It was a freaking party, man. Mm. Blockbuster was a party atmosphere. You can't understand how exciting it was to go to a Blockbuster on Friday night to try to find a stinking new release for everybody else that got there. Everybody in you in town would be in there. It's brightly lit, bright colors, yeah. Movie trailers going on, about 10 different CRTs up in the sky. Yeah, yeah. It smells like popcorn and candy, and there's this party atmosphere. You're coming in, and they got a guy greeting, "Oh, hi, welcome to Blockbuster. Hope you're having a good day." Shh. Now blow up the balloons and tie it up and hit it to the kid and go, "You have a great day, kid."
Yep.
And man, it was a different time.
Go find your 13-year-old brother who's staring at all those sexy movies he can't rent because his mom won't let him. That's the Blockbuster I remember. Taz says he was a Hollywood video kid. I was split. I'd go back and forth. I do, you know, whatever
was
available.
We didn't get a Hollywood video until a little later on. And by that time, it was a
Sony deal, right? Sony owned them or something?
All the ones I saw were in front of Walmarts. So I always assumed they were tied into Walmart somehow or another.
Let me look at this here.
I don't know. We had Blockbuster, Hollywood Video. We had three mom and pop stores. Mom and pop stores survived by doing renting games that were third party that no legal person would rent. Also, as well as adult rooms and that kind of stuff, offering tanning beds. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, mom and pop stores were still thriving, even with Blockbuster. As a matter of fact, the more video stores you had in town, there was research that said that the greater concentration in the closer area that it is, the more profit all of them made.
Oh, weird.
Because people would just buy more entertainment.
Weird. That's an interesting thing. I would not have guessed that before getting data like that. You know, that seems strange that would happen. By the way, it's Game Crazy was the thing they added to that, which is their whole game thing. And I think Sony had a stake in that.
Yeah.
That's the
deal. Ah, there you go.
Yeah. There's something going on there. I can't remember.
Eventually, we'll get to an episode about the Blockbuster exclusives because Sega was always trying to do the things that Nintendo don't. And so if Nintendo was fighting Blockbuster about game rentals, then Sega was at the front door of Blockbuster going, let us in. We want to put our games in here. Yeah. How can we do something exclusive?
Yeah. Yeah. That was their deal. By the way, the last Game Crazy to open was 2006. That opened in Las Vegas. They Game all Crazy. Went bankrupt in 2010.
Nice.
Oh, interesting. As of December 15th, 2011, GameCrazy.com has been relaunched as a gaming blog, but is not updated since 2014. Let's go see what's going on there.
Let's go see what kind of flash macromedia virus we can get.
Well, 2014 is not that long ago.
Okay, 10 years, Scott.
It's 10 years, but it's not that long. Not in the larger scheme of things. Okay, here we go. Like, they got articles up here like Alien Isolation might be the scariest game of all time.
Yes.
Let's see. Halo 5 Guardians joins live action Halo TV series for 2015 release. That got delayed. Let's see here. Sony's Project Morpheus, the next leap for virtual reality. How about this one? Retro Gaming Rises, they said in January.
This feels
of 2014.
Like a new. Yeah. This was like a new segment. How crazy is Game Crazy? Well, let's take a look back and see if they got it right.
Yeah. No, I kind of want to buy that. Can I buy this domain? Let's just buy gamecrazy.com.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how much could it be? Like $10? What do you think?
More than $10,000 probably.
They literally have two pages.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they've went
and they
down.
Both point to the same content, just in a different format. No, okay, it is different.
Yeah. And if I click the article,
right,
it doesn't go anywhere. Let's see.
No, it doesn't. How about anybody on crazygame.com?
Crazygame.com. For a hot second, I owned, and I had to get rid of it because it was too big. For a hot second, I had a Game Crazy outside sign moniker that you would have up above the store.
Oh.
And I had a friend who got one because he knew somebody who was in the closed down one, and they were getting rid of all this stuff. And he's like, "Hey, I got the whole outside sign. Do you want it? Like the light thing and all that?" And I'm like, "Yeah, dude." And I put it in here, and it took up so much room, and I never did shit with it. Kim's like, "We got to get rid of this." So we did.
Kind of a bummer. I think we could go buy Blockbuster Video probably for $100. What do you think?
Let's do it. Can I get that sign? I want a big one, though. Big one. Like big-ass Blockbuster Video.
Blockbuster.com brings up a nice big old Blockbuster logo for your nostalgia needs. We are working on rewinding your movie But while you wait, check out all that Sling TV has to offer. Does that mean Sling TV purchase, or are they just trying to
get
some free reference money from
freaking Sling? Zero idea. I know that on Etsy, there are a million neon sign replicas you can buy that say Blockbuster on them, like the blue ticket. I might do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, like I said, it was a party atmosphere. It was, it was all, you know, the bad feelings you have associated with going to the dentist.
Yeah.
It's just the opposite for Blockbuster. It's nothing but good feelings.
Oh, I can get a fake Blockbuster membership card for $4 on Etsy.
That used to cost you a credit card.
Oh,
I mean,
dude.
Come on.
I know, right?
Oh, I used to love laminating Blockbuster cards, man. That was my favorite thing. We'd print your little card out and put it in the laminate machine.
Yes, you did. You were a fan.
Yeah.
Ooh, there's a VHS lamp. Like, it's all like lights inside the tape. Dude, there's some cool stuff on here. I may have some cool stuff. Yeah, look at this, chat. Cool. Check this out. I'll show them right quick here. Look at that. LEDs inside the lamp.
Yeah.
How big is this? Hold on. Is there a video? There is. Okay, it's just on a desk. But look at that thing flashing and stuff. You could have a little like
that's way cool
party.
Wow. Yeah,
you're right.
Party in your pants.
You're right. It was a party atmosphere.
It's a party, man.
All right, time to move on to guess our game. It's a game we play. Damn it!
Destroy it.
The way it works is what I'm trying to say is we tell each other the platform, the year, the genre, and the publisher, and then we play audio from this audio from an old thing. And we have to try to guess what it is. We have three questions each. And once we're done with our three questions, we either have it already or we have a final guess. If we don't get it right, then we suck. If we get it right, then we're great.
Yeah. And then, in between time, there's a lot of stalling. Yeah.
That stuff. Because Brian's got to remember what the hell he recommended. So I'm going to go ahead and start with mine. This is a Game Boy Advance game from 2003.
Oh,
all right.
2003. Interesting.
Side scroller action game is your genre.
That's what I picked. Also, a little side scrolling action game as well.
Nice.
And been on the same page this week.
Konami is the developer/publisher. All right.
Okay.
Here you go.
Okay. Well, now that I remember what I did, now I can focus on what you're saying.
Oh, good. Thank goodness we've gotten here. Here's mine.
I got mine. I like this.
Yeah, here comes some gameplay. Soundtrack kicks ass.
That's some. I don't even want to guess. I just thought I was enjoying the music.
It's really good. It's also a very good game. I would put it in the top 30 GBA games. It's not like, you know, drop dead the best thing ever.
Too.
There's some punching. Definitely right. Some side scrolling action.
Some punching.
Yeah.
Side scrolling action punch.
Give you a little more of that.
When we say side scrolling action, let me get my first question out of the way. Let me narrow it down just a little bit.
Go ahead.
Is this a shooter / beat 'em up kind of, you know, a little bit of
no shooting,
a little bit of both, or do I need to dare it down further?
No shooting is what I'll say. It's like a beat 'em up.
Okay, so it's a beat 'em up.
Yes. You might have some projectiles, but that's not the main combat mode.
Yeah, that's the main. You might get a power up here or there, maybe, and then that's
right.
Okay.
Right.
Is this based on an intellectual property that is not a video game?
No, this is based on an original IP, although I will say original to help IP, you a little bit, it is sort of derivative of some other games like it. I'll say that.
Okay.
In theme and action type, okay? I'll say that.
Okay.
Oh, I was wrong about developer. Yes. I told you it was both Konami. Konami published it. Developer is Hudson Soft, if that helps.
Okay, so Hudson Soft. Okay, Hudson Soft. Okay. That doesn't make much a difference to me. Konami and Hudson Soft were working tight back then anyway. So 2003, interesting. What was I doing in 2003?
This might help you. I don't know. It's another tiny note. In Europe, it had a different name.
Okay.
Than it did in America or Japan. Japan and America had the same name, translated name. But Europe had a different one for some reason. I know why.
I'm hearing a lot of sirens, too. So I'm thinking maybe this is some kind of, let's see, is side-scrolling action. Hearing some punching, a lot of beat-em-ups, hearing some sirens. This feels like a cityscape kind of a thing. Game Boy Advance, 2003. Konami, Hudson Soft. Is this some kind of... No, you said it wasn't like RoboCop. It's not like an intellectual property outside. It's mostly for this. So it's going to have to be something inside. How about... Advanced Cops.
Is that
Advanced Cops.
Is that your guess?
Yes, absolutely. Advanced Cops.
Let's find
they
out.
They took a play on the name Advance, and they went with Advanced Cops.
Is it Advanced Cops? No, it's not. This game is called Ninja 5-0.
And Ninja 5-0, never played it, never heard of it.
It's
Sounds
great.
Amazing.
It's a fantastic game. Now, the reason they called it different, they called it Ninja Cop in Europe, right? Ninja Cop.
Ah!
The reason they called
it me.
Yeah, but the reason they called it Ninja Cop in Europe was because there's no 5-0. That
there's
language
no
means
5-0.
Nothing
that's,
over there. Yeah, doesn't mean nothing.
That's an American thing. Yeah. Exactly. Look at me.
Yeah, look at you.
I was reasoning.
Yeah.
I just would have never had picked Ninja 5-0. This is such an obscure name. I would ever never guess.
Yeah, this is not the kind of game that you've even seen. It's
Did you
rare.
Say it was Ninja Cop?
Ninja Cop in Europe, yeah. Ninja 5-0 here.
Okay, I might have been able to, you know, just guess Ninja Cop, but yeah, the other, no way.
It's basically Shinobi on steroids. It's just kind of crazy. You can fire, you have a sword, you can fire fire on people, like close range, like fire abilities. The animation's like, amazing. The music's insane. It's like kind of legitimately rad. I like this game
like
a lot.
It looks like Rolling Thunder meets Shinobi is kind of what it
There's a bit of that.
Looks like more advanced.
Props, by the way, to Tondagosa in the chat. He nailed it earlier.
Tonda guessing it.
Yeah, good
you
job,
never heard
dude.
Of this game, so that's it. Looks,
it's
looks
worth
like
playing,
it's very
dude.
Very fast.
Worth playing. I'm going to play this tonight
like
on
I
my
said,
new AmberNick. Yeah, it's really good.
Game Boy Advance has got a library of stuff that the library is bigger than I thought, and it's really good stuff.
That's because GBA
lot of,
rules.
A lot of treasures over there.
GBA rules.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, I'm going to play yours. Tell me what it is in the categories that we give each other. What is it?
Okay, so we got some action, but this is definitely not Ninja Cop 5-0 type action. This is more like fantasy action, but okay. it is for the Sega Genesis Mega Drive.
Mega Drive.
Here is 1992. Mm-hmm. And the publisher is Sega.
Okay. So Sega joint of some sort. Here we go. Oops, wrong one. Here we go. This at all. Sounds a little more lighthearted than Ninja Cop.
Much, much lighter fare than the serious topic that is Ninja Cop.
Being ninjas and cops at the same time, it's very serious stuff.
Yeah. Very serious stuff. This is not nearly that serious.
It's pretty good music.
The music is amazing, and you do have... three questions.
Damn it.
To get you there.
Okay, Sega. Is this a
Sega?
Oh, is this a series of games?
No. It is not. It is a one-off game, but they do revisit this IP.
They do. Interesting. So there are more.
Maybe not necessarily Genesis, but more. This has definitely been revisited in other games.
Really?
How about that? The IP has.
So that means other systems, you're saying. This is the only Genesis entry.
I'm not sure if there's any more in this. Like I said, this is a one-off, but it is an IP property. How about that?
Okay. Well, that's everything, though, right? Even if it's a one-off.
Yeah, but it's not like...
You're saying this is based on some outside
thing? You're getting a freebie.
Okay.
This is not a Sega IP property.
Oh.
How about that?
Okay.
It is a property outside of, locked in video games. So you could see these games anywhere.
Music's not ringing any bells for me. So I'm one question down. Is it a... Damn. Did they make any... No, that's not a good question. Was it successful?
Yes, it was very successful. But not critically. Get another freebie.
Tezzeret in the chat says he votes for making Guess My Game multiple choice. Oh, that's interesting. We could consider
it's
that.
Like, we should keep track of how often one of you actually gets these right. Right. Exactly. It's pretty low. It's pretty low. But that's half the fun is us, you know, just trying to. It's gotten more difficult. That's why we've expanded, because originally it was stuff like, hey, can you guess what game this is? Yes, Qbert. It's Qbert. I recognize Qbert.
Yeah, because the squares like that. That might be why multiple choice would be a good idea, because the harder they get, the more you got to open it up.
Right.
I don't know. I give up. I'm going to say this is, it's Zippy and his friend Larry go to school and pop some cherries. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, that's right. No, this is Ninja Cop 6-0. No, I'm kidding. It is Ariel the Little Mermaid.
Oh,
a Disney-themed question this week, developed by Blue Sky Software for the Sega Genesis Game Gear.
I can hear none of this is familiar.
Well, I didn't play the music here. I'll send you the video that it's actually captured from. I didn't give you the initial song, because that would have been like, you'd have instantly said there would be no need for multiple choice. You would have just said, oh, that's the Little Mermaid. Oh,
yeah.
My chat here. Oh, there you are.
Ariel the Little Mermaid. Is that the one?
Ariel the Little Mermaid Genesis playthrough. I just sent you a link through Discord. And if you start the video up, I mean, you'll pretty much plop right into
Didn't we talk about, I think we talked about this game.
Oh yeah.
Didn't we?
We did.
We went over this with something. This, what was the context though? Yeah. What were we talking about?
I don't remember. It's probably Disney games. Maybe talking about sharks.
See, I was a
musical note.
Sharks. I think I was thinking of, well, whatever. When I see a game like this, I go, oh, I'd rather play Echo the Dolphin. F this weirdness.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
playing this shit.
Yeah. If you were an Ariel fan, you know.
If you're an Arielist, I understand. Let's hear some of that music here. I think we got some of the top. Hold on. Under the Sea. Up there it is.
Yeah, if I'd have given you that.
Oh my gosh, it's so loud. Holy shit. Sorry. I apologize to everyone's ears. That is the loudest soundtrack. Right. Bing, bing, bing. Why are they doing that horrible sound?
I don't know.
Terrible.
And I think there's a note here that goes, but yeah, you would have guessed that right away. It would have been like, boom.
That was mermaid. Awful.
Move on.
We both did bad. We both did bad. That's the bottom line.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Yeah.
Time for us to do a little listener feedback. We got a text here, a couple of them actually. It came to us at 801-471-0462. You can also leave voicemails there as usual, or you can email us at playretroshow@gmail.com. Here are our texts for Brian Stunaway, assuming he plays a rogue in WoW.
yes.
He says, hey, in one of the Play Retro episodes, you mentioned the Galloping Ghost Arcade in the Chicago area. Yeah, I want to go there. Wanted to let you know that my daughter is flying in from Tallahassee, and we are planning on going sometime this week. I'll send pictures and a review. We'll also look for some games and try and amaze Scott later, dudes.
That is awesome.
Hurry
that
up and send your stuff, dude. Idea. Text those pictures. I can take him as text, so you can send him to that same number, and I would love to see how it went. I assume he's done now, or it's this week, maybe. Might be this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very excited. Galloping Ghost competes with a couple other arcades in the country that keeps kind of going, we're the largest arcade in the country. And they're always like trying to one-up each other. And I would love to go there. There's a great amount of history, too, with arcade games in Chicago. It was the hub for a really long time. And, man, I would love to go. And just imagine getting to go with one of your kids.
Oh, yeah,
that's
dude.
Amazing.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
I would love to go with Nick or something like that. Maybe we will.
Yeah.
Father-son trip. I have to figure that out. We got one more.
Ghost.
This is, let's see. This is about the Sonic episode that we did. He says, this is without a person that did not leave their name. He says, with Sonic and Knuckles plus any other game, the no way screen is a ruse, or was a ruse.
Okay.
You can push some button combo to get a randomized 3D sphere level. I used that to get good enough to get both sets of emeralds, became hypersonic, and see the quote unquote real ending.
Oh, yes, right. That's the thing they didn't want you to see. This is what all of the developers, they hate you for telling this secret. But yeah, that's cool. I didn't know that. But you're right. So the 3D spear levels, I don't know if you remember when we did that, did that one, they were, you would run around and you
it was like a big ball, back like a sphere. Forth. And if you hit the pinball things, you'd bounce. If you avoided them and got the blue ones, the reds would turn blue and then you got the blues or something like, I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
It's bad. It's not
being
a fun,
hypersonic.
It's not a fun video. I don't like that mini game at all.
No, and it's, and you're thinking, oh, that's not so hard. But the thing is, it's one of those Eternal Runner things. What is it? It's not Eternal Runner. What do you call it?
Endless Runner.
Infinite Runner.
Endless Runner.
Endless Runner. Yeah, that's it.
Endless Runner.
He just starts going. And he starts moving. You can't stop him. It's so annoying.
This is the reason I don't like any Sonic interstitial level stuff. They're all bad. Yeah, they all try to be 3D and they're not. They all try to be fun and they're not. And they all break so hard from the normal gameplay that they just piss me off. So if I could go to Sega and say, hi, Sega, what's up? They'd say, do you have a complaint, sir? I'd say, I have one. Quit putting weird shit in your Sonic games, okay? Just play Sonic. Knock it off.
I kind of like the original one, though, the one where the screen rotates around and you're kind of if stationary and it just kind of rotates you around and you're rotating the screen. I kind of like that.
That one's maybe okay. Magical. It's maybe okay, I guess.
Sparklies and things.
I just don't. I like Mario's method. It's like, oh, I'm in a place where there's a ton of extra coins. Let's try to get them all.
Yeah, and the music. Yeah, the music changes and you fall down. Like, oh, what's going on? Huh? Yeah. Gotta get coins.
Yeah, I don't mind that. That makes sense in the world. But you're like, now the world's 3D and you're in a big tube. Why?
Remember all those things you learned in level one? Forget them.
This is a whole new video game now. Anyway, thanks for that text. You can send those again at 801-471-0462, and we look forward to it.
Ludicrous kill. Holy shit.
It's time for the Unreal Report. As you know, we've had nothing but growth in our retro Unreal play, and hundreds of you have joined the Unreal Tournament and 2K4 stuff over the last 3 weeks. We'd like to thank you for your gibs, and your jibbing and gibbing. All right?
Yes.
It's the gib that just keeps on jibbing, is the way I say it.
Yes. That's exactly what I said.
Are these the most updated top fives or are these old?
If you click on the links, that will give you the actual live data. This is over on gametracker.com. We're tracking both servers. And if you look for Play Retro servers over on gametracker.com, you can see the same, or you can go to retrogib.com. There's links there. But yes, this is the absolute most recent standings up to the minute.
I'm in fourth place in both servers. That's crazy.
Yes, you're a very fourth place player. And I think I'm like ninth on one and sixth on the other. So
yeah, you're doing all right. Shock effect on 2K4. You're creeping up my butthole there.
Yeah, I'm doing my thing. I'm trying to get a little closer, trying to practice a little bit.
I think tonight we're playing 2K4, right? Is that what we're doing? That was the plan.
That's the plan if you're down with it.
Are you kidding? I'm so ready. Let's go. My arm doesn't hurt today, so let's hurt it. Let's get my arm hurting.
Oh, good.
Anyway, there's a lot going on over there. If you want to be a part of that part of our community and play some old Unreal and find out the ways to get it, if you don't happen to have it in either of these cases, you can go read all about it at retrogib.com. Brian did a bunch of updates. It's awesome.
We updated UT 2K4 information. So now you have a full... from beginning to end on how to possibly acquire it, how to install it, set it up, get on the server so you can play us. Like Scott said, retrogib.com. Huge thanks to Wabbit Magic, who you know what you did.
Yeah, we know what you did. And we're happy you did it, but we know what you did.
Yeah, that's right. We know what you did. And thanks to Don't Blink over on the Discord server, who hit me up earlier today and said, I don't get some of this Linux stuff for installing the patch. And I'm like, I don't know. And I took a look, and by the time I got through looking, he'd already fixed it and he figured out how to do it. And so I took the information he gave me and I put it on.
Linux people, you guess what? We didn't forget about you. You're still covered in there.
I forget about you.
Here's the good news. I think this is great news. Next week, we are covering one of my favorite series of all time also just for anything. I love Advance Wars, and we're going to talk about Advance Wars. Probably talk about Advance Wars 2 as well. Kind of the state of where it's at today, but that original game and why it's so damned important to me maybe hopefully a bunch of you. Now, I found out something today. We did a little special TMS thing for our patrons today. And during that conversation, we had a question about Superman, the N64 Superman game that we just covered.
Oh, yeah.
And the question was, and the trivia question was, do you know what the full name of the game was? And neither of them knew it. And at the end of it, I said, boy, it's real easy to tell who listens and who doesn't listen to Play Retro in our community. I was kidding around, obviously. But what they both said to me was, they both said the same answer. They said, well, I only listen to the ones where you guys talked about a game I played or I'm interested in. If it's about a game I didn't play, I skip it. So,
yeah,
if that's the case, if y'all are skipping the episodes based on games you didn't play.
Yes.
That's dangerous information. Brian and I are going to take that information. We're going to figure out a way to make it so you can't miss no matter what we talk about.
You're not gonna like what we're gonna do. Uh-uh. You're gonna love it.
You're gonna fall on the floor and rub oil on yourself. It's gonna be amazing. Anyway,
Superman: The New Superman Adventures, by the way, is the answer you're looking for. Is the full title and the title of the animated cartoon, right? Isn't that right?
And the show is good. The cartoon or the game is Garbaggio.
Garbaggio.
Anyway, that is coming up next week. We'll talk about Advance Wars. Very excited. Get out your game gears. All right. Patreon.com/playretro. In the meantime, these are people that have signed up for our Patreon. Spencer Cole, just an example. CJ, Oslin McColgan, Coolgan, Mark Ellison. These are just a few of the fine folks who have joined us most recently. And they never get commercials now. They get pre-show content every week. What other reasons could I give you? Go support your favorite retro game show right now at patreon.com/playretro. I don't know why that got goobled up in my head. If you're looking for our website, it'll have links to everything, including later today. I'll put it up there because I don't know why I haven't yet, but Retro Gib will be up on there. All this other stuff will be on there. Check it out. That is frogpants.com/playretro. Brian, is there anything else you'd like to add before we go?
Yes. Hakuna Matata.
Oh, my gosh. That is a great idea. Get yours today at hakunamatata.com.
Hakuna Matata.
My tatas. All right, that's it. We'll
it
see you guys.
It ain't no passing phrase.
Go read, go play something retro and watch The Lion King, and we'll see you next time. Yep.
Get more at frogpants.com.
They stopped laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds. Like the breathable, silky smooth tree dasher, the responsive foam and extra grip of the tree runner, or the classic low-top look of the tree piper. Allbirds has a lightweight, ultra-packable shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.